Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. 12 after. Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast, 800-531-3815. And my website is www.jbsba.com. When you get there, be sure to check out the opportunity to subscribe to my free newsletter. It's right there. It comes every week by email. I think you'll like it. We get lots of subscriptions. We get very few unsubscribes. But when we do, if you decide that you don't like, you don't want to receive it anymore for whatever reason, all you got to do is say unsubscribe and we take you off our list. And I also want to remind you that when you subscribe with us, when you give us your information, we have a very, very simple privacy policy. And that's that whatever you give us stays with us until you don't want us to do business with us anymore. And then we throw it away. We do away with it. We don't sell it. We don't rent it. We don't give it away. Your information is totally protected with us. We won't let anybody else have it, we promise. And that's the deal we've had since day one, even though I've had people who have offered to buy my list. And they've made me a pretty good offer before. And we just won't even talk to them. It just will not happen. And that's our deal. And if you're dealing with anybody else out there that's where you give them your information, if they can't convince you that they're doing the same thing, then I don't think you ought to do business with them, because you know what spam is, and you know how bad that can get. And if the more you do business with people who can't make that promise to you, that promise of privacy, then you're not going to be able. You're going to wind up on more spamming lists, like I have been, and like you probably are too. Okay, here's the thing that's going on right now. Joan Pride's stuck in a metro car somewhere. She's having a little trouble getting in. As you know, Joan's in Washington, D.C., and that's where the Kiplinger main office is, and she commutes in from Virginia. And about once or twice a year, the trains don't cooperate, and so I think that's what's happening. She's just a little bit behind. I'm going to go ahead with a letter. I'm going to talk about some things in the meantime until she gets here that are on the letter. This is about small businesses using unlicensed software. Kiplinger says to beware that there actually are software cops out there. Did you know that? You know, we joke about that sometimes. We talk about the software cops who come by and looking over your shoulder. Well, they actually exist. It's called the Business Software Alliance, and they've actually initiated legal action against people who have abused software licenses. And you know, the way software companies want you to operate, and I'm not an expert in this, but this is the way I understand it, is they want you to buy another program for every user, and that's what their intention is, and that's what they want you to do. And the thing is they'll even offer you, if you've got multiple users, they'll even offer you a group rate. You could actually go and negotiate a group rate for that. Now, if you have two people in your office and you buy one software package, and both of you use that software, I'm not saying that the Business Software Alliance is going to come in and shut you down or fine you or whatever. I'm not saying that's going to happen. We're talking about the people who are more likely to, for example, use software that they didn't buy. Somebody gave them, or to abuse it in some way. What Kiplinger is saying is that now that there actually is an organization called Business Software Alliance, sometimes disgruntled employees are turning their employers or their former employers in, and so that's what's happening. But the good news is there now is a scenario with the Business Software Alliance, so that if you think that you have violated some of these things, you can let them know. And they'll work with you. In fact, Kiplinger reports that there's actually going to be some amnesty periods in certain cities for this, And so you can go to I think you can probably go to Kiplinger.com or probably, let's see, Software Alliance. BSA.org and find out more about that. And I think Joan may be here. Joan, are you here?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Hi, Joan.
Hi, Jim.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Did the Metro didn't cooperate today?
Oh, huh? Don't even get me started.
Well, of course you know we can't do without you, Joan.
You're not going to dock my pay, are you?
But somehow we managed to muddle through so far.
Oh, good. I feel better. No,
but I've already covered part of the letter. But let's now that you're here, let's get back into the first part of the letter. I wanted to go back over to the first page. I saved the first page for you.
Thank you.
I was just talking about the software, the Business Software Alliance, our piece that you have in the...
Yeah, and who started that Business Software Alliance?
Probably Microsoft.
Yeah, Microsoft. I mean, it wasn't just Microsoft, but even some of its competitors. For once, they all got together.
Yeah.
On this.
Well, this is interesting, and you know what people have done over the years, Joan, is just acted like, you know, if they could get it, they would use it.
Right, and it may be possible that you're using unlicensed software, not even realizing. You just weren't paying attention.
Exactly. But this is an area that we're all going to have to become a little more educated about. And just think about it this way, folks. Their software is their inventory. What if somebody came in and said, you know, you're not using that product on your shelf. It's just sitting there. Nobody's buying it. Let me use it for a while.
Yeah,
and not pay you for it. You wouldn't like that. And so we have to realize that software, even though it's just a CD and it's just information on a CD, somebody had to pay to develop that.
That's right.
So that we all need to be more aware of other people's valuables. You know, I mean, it basically is. You know, you've seen, I'm sure, Joan, the commercials on television about the fact that you know, stealing cable is a crime.
Right. That's a good example. Good analogy.
Mm-hmm. You might say, well, what does it hurt? It's going out. But still, it's a crime. And
where does it stop?
Exactly. So we all need to pay a little more attention to that. But there is such a thing as fair use, Joan, and that's the issue, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. No question.
Fair use, for example, is if you buy a CD of music and you want to convert that CD of music over to a cassette so you can take it in your car, that's considered fair use.
Yes.
But if you give that cassette or sell that cassette, even worse, to a friend, then that's not fair use. That's pirating, basically.
That's it, right. And if you're making copies to sell them to people, that would not be right.
Right, exactly. So that's something you don't want to do. Joan, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what's in store for the president this year in Congress. Kiplinger, by the way, folks, says it's going to be deja vu all over again. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Our phone number is 800-531-3815. Toll free, coast to coast, 800-531-3815. Joan, you make it sound like in your first little piece here on page one,
mm-hmm.
you guys make it sound like there's going to be more gridlock in 2003. But I thought the last time I checked, the Republicans had the White House and the Big House.
That's true. They do. The Big House? Uh-huh. I don't know if I would put it that way. But
it's bigger than the White House.
Well,
it's the biggest house in Washington.
Well, a lot of different things are going on, and one of the things is that they don't have very huge majorities in either chamber. And you can see right away that the Senate has just been mired in gridlock. They could have not been able, I think they just recently did, but up until I think yesterday, they were not able to pass what's known as an organizational resolution that kind of sort of lays out money for each committee and things like that.
Yeah.
The Democrats were successfully blocking it. So, you know, you're not going to necessarily see things just whizzing through. And the other problem is you could argue that to a certain extent there will be some internal division within the GOP. Because there will be things that the president wants to do that may be at odds with some of the conservative leadership in the House.
Well, that may be true. One of the things we know about the Republicans is they don't play the game of politics as well as the Democrats do.
Well, we'll find that. We'll certainly find out whether that's true or not in the next Congress, I would think.
I think you're exactly right. I think that's
you do?
Exactly.
I certainly do.
We'll also find out whether what's his name is going to change. Lincoln Chafee is going to change to Democrats over to the Democrat, and whether our buddies in Georgia will do about changing over to the Republicans. That would be an interesting switch there.
Right. Now, well, the thing is, now the Senate is 51-49, so Mr. Chafee switching over doesn't really do the Democrats much good at this point.
Right. Yeah, but exactly. Of course, he sure sounds more like a Democrat every day. But anyway, you're right. The only difference is, though, Joan, where I think that it will change, where it will be different, and I know you guys know this, is that the Republicans now have control of the agenda.
Yes. That's true, and the control of the committees.
And yes, and at least they can get the Republican issues discussed. Whereas last year in the Senate, they couldn't even get them on the table.
Well, that was a shame.
Yeah, it broke a lot of people. It broke your heart, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, you're right. It's basically, and then when you blend in the 2004 presidential rhetoric and all the posturing along those lines.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you something, Joan. I think that will be somewhat neutralized by the Democrats fighting among themselves for who's going to be the nominee.
Wow.
What do you think about that?
I'm not sure about that.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just not sure about that.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. It must be true.
Well, exactly. We'll wait and see. Tax cuts, though. You say that tax cuts will get the nod, but not as much as Mr. Bush wants.
Right. And there's a lot of talk, as you know, about the sort of the centerpiece of his proposal, which is the elimination of the tax on dividends paid to investors.
Right.
And I guess that the buzz is that what he has laid down is really a starting point for negotiations, and that in the end what you will see is something less than that, maybe a 50% cut in the tax or some 50% exclusion, something
now,
like that.
He said that he believes that companies should be taxed on profits, but not on the profits that are distributed to investors. Is that right?
Yes.
And not...
There should not be double taxation. And then in Bush's plan, the corporations would still get taxed, but then when the dividends are distributed, they would not be taxed.
Right.
Now, there's an argument that some are making. I'm not saying I agree, but some are making that if you really wanted to help the economy, you should stop the tax on the corporation.
Right. Right. Because corporations don't pay tax. Consumers pay
tax.
Right.
So that if you want to stimulate the economy, that's where you eliminate the tax. But the Democrats could have a field day with that issue. Oh, cutting taxes on big corporations. You could just see it.
Right.
So that's why he didn't do it that way, I'm told. I mean, he didn't tell me that, but we're just
According to Kiplinger, we can forget about tax simplification this year, too.
Well, you know, tax simplification, I've seen this happen too many times. There's a lot of talk about it, but it's really hard to see any action. There's just too many vested interests that want to keep the tax code the way it is.
It's just too complicated.
Yeah.
And we're so hidebound in this thing. We're so wrapped up in it. It permeates every single facet of our existence.
It sure does. It sure does.
And so, I mean, literally, you'd have to go in. It's like it'd be like trying to, you know what kudzu is. It's it's this creeping vine that gets into everything. It'd be like trying to not just cut it out.
Yeah.
It'd be like trying to go in and having to pull it out surgically out from under every rock.
Right.
And that's the problem. And I'll tell you what, it can be done, and it can be done successfully. But not with the current leadership scenario that we've got.
I think that's right. Yeah.
And I'm not talking about individuals from a leadership standpoint as much as I am just the way the leadership system is structured. The way the Congress is, the way everything is, it's just not going to happen. And
right.
I agree with you about that. And it's sad to say because we dearly need tax simplification.
Well, that's true, but I just don't see how it happens.
It's not going to. When we come back, we got a lot more to talk about with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot. Come on back.
Well, there's a black man with black hair. Little black man.
Now back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted this year's Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. Mr. Humble, Mr. Gracious here. Right, Joan? Hello, hello?
I thought it was you.
800-531-3815. Toll free coast to coast. My website is www.jbsba.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, are they ever going to pass a prescription drug bill?
Oh, who knows? You would think that this would be a slam dunk.
You'd think that they'd be figure out a way to make this a political win for them, wouldn't you?
Boy, I don't get it.
Well, you know something else that's pretty sad is, are you familiar with the Notch Baby situation?
Vaguely, but I'm way too young to understand.
Well, I know, but my mother and dad are both Notch Babies.
Okay.
They were born in the 20s.
Didn't they get kind of screwed by Social Security?
There's a period of time there. I've forgotten how many years. People before them got a full complement of Social Security benefits, people after them. But for some reason, I don't remember why, there's a group of people in the Notch that didn't get the benefits. And so my mother was complaining. Yesterday she was complaining.
Really?
About this. I've heard my dad complain about this. And they don't get nearly the benefits that people who were born just a little bit later are getting. And it's just because of the way of, I don't know exactly what, some kind of a quirky thing when they developed it.
Yeah.
But you would have thought that years ago somebody would have fixed that because there's a bunch of them. Of course, now they're not going to get it fixed because there's not so many of them.
That's right.
But anyway, this prescription drug thing and also the Medicare overhaul. You're saying both of those things are not going to happen?
No chance for Medicare overhaul. And we say not even a passing glance at Social Security reform for two or three more years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it's because they probably both figured out that as they fight over these things, it might take them both down, both parties.
But what's interesting is, you know, the oldest baby boomers are now in their mid to late 50s.
Yep.
And they're going to be retiring in the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe not. Maybe they'll have to work longer. But you would think that as this age group, as this bulge in the population gets closer to the age when they're going to want to be collecting Social Security and they're going to become eligible for Medicare, that, you know, lawmakers would sit up and take notice.
It's probably going to have to get a little closer to the real time.
Yeah. They're like college kids with a term paper. They don't do anything until just before the deadline.
It's probably going to wait until it gets closer to the time.
Yeah.
But the thing is the need's going to be greater then because, you know, one of the big problems with medicine right now, it's a two-edged sword. The good news is we have medicine that can help people live better and live longer. The bad news is it's expensive.
Right.
And that's not going to change. That's going to get better, isn't it? We're going to have more drugs. We're going to have more expense, more things to pay for, and so that's not only is that going to make it rougher on the people who have to pay for it, whoever that is, whether it be the government or the individuals.
That's right.
So it's a challenge. I mean, isn't it interesting how the irony of the challenges that good health and long life is giving us?
Yeah, it is. It is very ironic.
Freedom isn't free, neither is long life.
Ooh, that was deep.
Apparently, yeah. Well, I have one of those every once in a while. What about the 401k programs? Is the oversight of that going to get beefed up?
Well, it's mainly, I think our word oversight may not have been the best word to use, but there's some reforms that Congress was working on last year, as you remember, and they were all designed to keep employers from forcing workers to hold company stock in their accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a couple little weeks they did last year, and they're going to do a couple more this year.
Right. And we'll have a couple more things to say about 401ks in a little bit. Joan, the very first political issue that I brought up in this show and had Congressman Bill McCollum from Florida on the show in December of 1997.
Oh, I don't want to talk about this one.
1997 was
please.
Bankruptcy.
You're
saying that it's still not going to pass, But I think that's what you're saying here. But Joan, that's right. You're saying that something may happen. But why don't they just take it off the table? They're not going to do anything with it, Joan. Why don't they just? I mean, don't they realize how embarrassing this makes them look that they can't finish anything?
I know. Well, this is kind of the way. If you remember the good old banking deregulation bill, it took about 20 years for that thing to pass, and it finally did. This thing is beginning. It's getting to be the same way.
This thing's got five birthdays.
Because when Clinton was in office, they did pass it, and then I think he either vetoed it or just, you know, it just sort of died. But once Bush was elected, we said, well, now the big stumbling block is gone. Now it'll get passed. And then this killer amendment having to do with abortion clinics ended up on the bill.
Now think about this, folks. We're talking about a bankruptcy bill, and an abortion clinic rider gets tacked on. Now, if you ever wanted to know why what people meant when they said two things you don't want to see made, sausages and laws, this is an example. Right, Joan?
Oh, no question.
It's a bankruptcy bill to try to get creditors to pay more of what they owe, and there's an abortion rider tacked onto it. Makes no sense at all. To regular folks anyway. 20 till. We'll be right back with Joan Pryde. We're back, 17 till. Joan Pryde is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And folks, they've got some outstanding publications that I like telling you about. Kiplinger Letter, which has been coming out every week since 1923, now in its 80th year. And we've already got a commitment by the son of the founder, who's almost 85 years old, I guess, now, who's going to join us when that happens back in September, Joan. We're going to wind up getting the son and the grandson back on.
Boy, that's exciting.
Mr. Austin and Ann Knight. We'll try to get both of them
great.
On. And they also have three biweekly letters, the agriculture letter, the tax letter, and the California letter, and an outstanding magazine, Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine. And you can find all those at Kiplinger.com and this phone number, Joan.
Right. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
But just like my website, there's free stuff there that you can get to
you
at
bet.
Kiplinger.com. So check that out when you get a chance. And they're good folks, I promise. Joan, tort reform.
Yes, sir.
You guys say that there won't be tort reform this year, probably.
No. It's just, you know, this is another one that comes up every year. And I know that that's a subject near and dear to a lot of people's hearts
sure
in the
mine.
Business community. But it's just too hard to get through Congress. And I realize that it's hard to understand this because, again, the Republicans control both houses. But
Joan, let's think about this for a minute. Let's think about a Republican strategy here
okay.
that we might be able to look for. I'm not sure if the Republicans are good enough politicians to pull this off or to even think about it. But this is a strategy for them. Let's say that it looks like Edwards is getting the nod. Edwards is building momentum. He's going to become one of the top contenders by next December as the Democrat nominee
right.
for 2004.
Okay.
He is a major, I mean, he is the poster child for tort reform on both sides.
You mean he's a trial lawyer?
For both sides, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if I were fighting, if I'm against tort reform, which I am, if I were doing a poster, I'd put his picture on it and the other people would too.
You're against
anyway.
Tort? You're for tort reform.
I'm for tort reform.
Yeah.
But either way, I'd put his picture on the poster. Now,
oh, I see, yeah.
Now, if he moves out front, if the Republicans were smart, they'd be getting tort reform front and center, talking about the horrible things that we need tort reform to fix some of those horrible things, and that would be the big thing that's the only thing they can fight him on. He's too good looking to do anything else, right?
Well, I think they may very well do that. Just because we say that odds are against it passing doesn't mean there won't be a lot of
exactly
fire and brimstone about it.
Exactly. So look for that to happen, and that'll be fun, and that would be a way of the Republicans giving back the Democrats a little bit of their own medicine, because I know the Democrats are smart enough and canny enough and good enough politicians that they would bring that up themselves if the shoe were on the other foot.
Sure,
so
why not? Why
yeah.
not?
What about deregulating broadband?
Well, we're saying that in our inimitable way of turning phrase, still no wings for that. So I guess that's not going to fly. We're instead of Congress taking any action, they're going to sit back and see what the FCC does in this area.
This is an interesting topic, Joan, because as you know, this is a little sleeper of a thing that's going on in the economy out there. About 6 to 12 months ago, I reported on the show some statistics that showed only 12% of households in America had broadband connectivity on the internet.
Okay.
Now that number is like 15%. And it's moving to, in 2003, I think it's going to go to 18%.
Okay.
Something like 100,000 people a month are
wow.
being added to broadband at home. Not at the office, but at home.
Yeah.
Now, isn't the deregulation issue the part about it being the way the baby bells are being treated with regard to their stranded assets?
Oh, I see. Yes. From what little I know, yes, that's the issue.
That they're having to operate under certain rules that some of the other people, like the cable companies, are not having to operate under.
That's right, because they have to give some wiggle room to the long-distance carriers that want to come in.
They're being regulated, but the new people aren't being regulated.
Right.
And I think that may be the issue there. But the thing about it is, the thing to watch, though, folks, is that whole broadband issue. You've heard me say this before, and I'm going to say it again. I believe it very much. I still believe it. When this country completely converts to broadband, our world will change.
Ooh.
I've been saying this for 4 years, Joan, maybe
yeah,
more.
Yeah, we're waiting.
What I used to say when we had access, because in those days we didn't all have access to broadband.
Right.
Now most people have access to broadband in some form, either cable or DSL. And when that happens, the world will change. That's in my opinion, the next consumer silver bullet. The next consumer silver bullet is going to be applications that only work with broadband.
Well, that's what I was just going to say, is that one of the reasons this has been slow to catch on, and you and I have talked about that, is the lack of a killer app.
That's right.
You know, you don't have people saying, I've got to have this because I can't run the applications I want to run without it.
Right.
And I think we're getting closer to that point.
And it'll be all around entertainment.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Now the next silver bullet in terms of the world is going to be biogenetics, I think. But that's
Ooh.
Not something consumers can use and can purchase, you know, in a discretionary way.
Right.
But I do believe that the best thing that the government could do would be to, you know, I don't know if you know this, Joan, or not, but South Korea, and I have a friend who actually was in charge of this in South Korea. South Korea, the state went in, and I'm not saying the U.S. should do this, but the state of South Korea went, the nation of South Korea went in and hardwired every home in South Korea for
wow.
broadband.
Well, they have broadband. Fewer homes to hardwire than we do.
Well, they do, but think about that, though. I mean, of course, that was a socialist situation that they did that. I mean, the government paid for it, but that was it's kind of an interesting thing. That'll
yeah.
be interesting to track over there. Going to take a quick break. It's 10 till. We'll be right back with our good friend, Joan Pride. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. Joan Pride is our guest. We're talking about the most recent Kiplinger letter. Joan, you say this week that the weak December job situation will keep the door open for a Fed rate cut later this month. I'm sorry, not this month.
This month.
Yeah, that's
right.
Later this month, the 28th.
I hate to tell you, but it is January.
I know it is, yeah.
Yeah.
50-50 chance that they'll cut rates again.
Right.
Never happened.
Uh-oh. Here we go. You're disagreeing with the letter?
I am disagreeing with the letter. This is not going to happen.
Okay.
No. I I've already predicted when this is going to happen, right?
Oh, September?
Yeah.
And you even gave the date in September.
But they're not going to lower the rates. They're going to raise rates.
Well, in September.
Yeah, it's going to happen on September 17th.
Yeah.
They're going to go up a quarter of a point.
Yeah. I mean, your point probably, and I can imagine, I understand this, is they've pretty much gone as low as they can go.
1.25?
Yeah.
I mean, anything below that is major capitulation.
Right. Right.
And I don't see that happening. But anyway, yeah. it was fun for it to read what you had to say, though.
Well, we only said 50-50. We didn't 50-50. Say it was going to happen. We're doing a good job of straddling the fence here.
What weenies? Kipling, you're being weenies on that issue.
I'm shocked.
Sales in automobile parts. Now, this is a very interesting thing. This has always amazed me. It's been so interesting to me about the economy is what happens with automobile parts and accessories.
Yeah, and what we're saying here, over the next couple of years, that sales of parts and also accessories are going to soar 20%. And there's just a lot of new things coming down the pike, new engineering trends that are going to push higher sales.
Well, and one of the things, though, that causes this is when people are out of work or when things are slow, they don't think about buying a new car, they think about repairing the old one.
Exactly.
And that's why that's where this is coming from,
right.
I believe.
That's right. No,
very
I think you're
interesting.
Right. Yeah.
What about the 401k situation? We promise you we talk about that some more. There's some new ways of participating in a 401k, and you guys report on that this week.
Right. We're saying, you know, if you want to lure people into your 401k, but you don't want to spend money, as in, for example, on increasing your match in these tough times, there are things that you can do that won't cost anything. For example, give them the option of funding an IRA through payroll deduction along with their 401k. It doesn't cost you anything, and the tax laws have recently changed to allow that to be done.
Folks, the reason these things are important is it gives you the opportunity to appear more sophisticated than you have in the past, because you've got some new wrinkles that you can offer, some features, some value that you can add to the relationship with your employees. And so whenever your employees are visiting with their friends who work for big companies and they're telling about all these benefit wrinkles that they've got, your guys can say, we have that too.
Right. That's very important.
Nah.
Yeah.
You know, and so think about this. This is, it takes a little bit more work on your part, but it's one of the ways.
Yeah,
and small business
off.
Owners, one of the things small business owners are going to have to do to keep good employees in the future.
That's right.
So pay attention to this. Joan, is there a place, I'm trying to see if there's a place that you guys give where we can go to find out more about this. I guess we can talk to our CPA about these things and whoever is the administrator
of our 401k.
Well, you
should, or your HR person should be very familiar with this.
Well, you're right. The HR people of our small businesses are listening to us right now.
That's true. Or they can go to the
provider. They're
the ones
with the keys in their hands.
Right. That's right.
So it's going to be up to us to find this out. Just check it out, folks. We're talking about an IRA payroll deduction plan, disability, lifestyle or managed accounts they talk about, broadening investment options, including real estate. These are things that you can do to really beef up the quality of the benefits that you're offering. And many of these, Joan, as you guys say, don't cost the company anything.
That's the whole point. I'm doing it now.
And the thing is, Joan, is you don't. So many of these, the employee won't even choose it. They just. But as long as they know
just
they can have
they
it,
they could. Yeah,
that's right.
Right.
The thing that more people want, Joan, is options in their life, don't they?
Oh, no question about it.
And that's a key thing.
Right.
Let's move over and talk about for just a few minutes. Talk about the war on terror. How's it going?
Well, it's tough. We're saying it's going well in military terms because we've routed Al Qaeda from their strongholds, but it's still a long, long, difficult war, and part of it is because Afghanistan is remaining very unstable, and there's,
yep,
you know, menaces out there in Indonesia. You know, you've seen these different things happening in the Philippines and
but isn't
elsewhere.
It good to hear these other countries apprehending these people? You know, Joan, before we went into Afghanistan, before 9/11, you didn't hear about these countries abducting these people, apprehending these people.
Well, it's to their own advantage to step up.
Exactly.
They don't want Al-Qaeda in their countries
the
either.
The world is, the consciousness of terrorism is really being imprinted on the world. And,
yes.
And they're stepping up to the plate, and I'm glad to see them doing that.
Right.
Thanks, Joan.
Thank you, Jim.
Next week.
Okay, I'm ready.
See ya. Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. That's you. Because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.